Well, now let us move on to the factors which affect recruitment. Well, through this particular diagrammatic mention, we have enlisted certain external and internal factors. Let us first look at the external factors enlisted here. Basic factors would be supply and demand. Definitely, if there is less supply and more demand, recruitment would change. Vice versa, if there is more demand and less supply, again recruitment efforts would need to change. Considering the labor market would also help the recruitment process. The image and goodwill of a company like let us say Microsoft, people or Google, people would pay to join such companies. They would actually go miles to join such companies. They would go out of their own behavior. They would try to improve on their personality to join such companies. Whereas companies who do not possess this kind of an image or goodwill would have to have a better game plan in order to recruit aspirants. Again, another important thing is the unemployment rate, which is again into consideration. If there is a high rate of unemployment, then companies can recruit better people or probably can be more selective. If there is a huge pool of people, then sorry, a small pool of people, there is more supply than demand, then the recruitment statistics change. Similarly, another point which can be enlisted or be a part of this is the presence of competitors. Competitors also affect the recruitment dynamics. If there are more competitors, the recruitment process becomes more complicated. If you have a complete monopoly in recruitments, you can generate a better pool of people, and hence you can leverage this external factor. Coming to internal factors, prime factor needing a mention is the human resource planning. So, how do you go about planning for a particular workforce requisition? How do you fill those positions based on the experience of the HR department? How do you go about generating those numbers which will prove to be the ideal match? In congruence to this, what is the recruitment policy of the organization? How do we go about recruiting? Is there a general a sense of urgency? Is there a general sense of conducting various tests? How tight are the selection systems? All these come under the recruitment policy. Also affecting the internal factors are the dynamics of the size of the firm or the organization. What is the size of the organization? If it's a small organization, then probably recruitment dynamics would definitely vary vis-a-vis a huge organization. Also comes the factor of the cost of recruitment. If it's too urgent a position, you need to pay more to external agencies or probably post a job on some of the prominent job portals. If it is a relatively non-urgent requirement, maybe you could do with internal, you could look at internal people or probably work through references of people. And of course, the growth and expansion, where company is looking for quick growth, like Infosys in the early years required quick growth. They grew phenomenally by doing mass hiring, mass ramp ups. So, all these are the governing factors, of course, being bifurcated or differentiated into the internal as well as the external factors. Well, in the previous slide, if you've noted, we have what we've done is we've discussed the various factors. Now, here we will shed some more light on each individual factor that we've discussed previously. It's just a basic reinforcement for us to understand the recruitment process in a better manner. So, the external forces will be discussed first. These are the forces which cannot be controlled by the organization, hence, they are external. The various forces that were enlisted shall be discussed here. The first being supply and demand. The availability of manpower both within and outside the organization is an important determinant in the recruitment process, as we've seen. So, if there is a greater supply, then what is the demand? Probably you can be more selective in the process of recruitment. Recruitment can be a simpler process there, involving less amount of complications. But if the demand is more, but the supply is less, then you need to use more experience, you need to use more time, you need to use more resources and money in order to procure the required people. So the expertise needs to be, if it's a niche position, for example, which is not being found easily, then probably you need to use multiple channels of recruitment in order to meet the requisite supply with the correct demand. The next important external factor is the labor market. The kind of employment conditions in the community where the organization is located will influence the recruiting factors of the organization. Let us say, for example, there is a growing trend of people to join IT companies in places like Pune, in places like Hyderabad, in places like Bangalore. So probably such conditions in the community are conducive to the creation of IT companies, to the expansion, to the increment of IT-enabled services. The image and goodwill also plays an important part. The image of the employer can work as a potential boon or a limitation that is a constraint for recruitment. Companies like Tata, companies like Birla, companies like Microsoft, who have created an image, companies like Reliance, who have created that goodwill in the market by staying in the market for long duration of time, by generating huge masses of money, are places where people look forward to working. But smaller companies, companies which are yet to prove themselves, or companies which have tarnished images due to some malpractices, they need to really work hard in order to pull talent. So relatively lesser known companies, companies in remote locations, these kind of companies need to actually embrace several types of recruitment practices in order to meet the recruitment demands, in order to meet the workforce requisition demands of their respective organizations. The major external factors, of course, more factors here. Political, social, legal environment is another factor which needs a discussion. Various government regulations prohibiting discrimination in hiring and employment have direct employment on, sorry, direct impact on the recruitment practices. So there are certain legislative actions which the government has taken which actually impact recruitment practices. So the recruitment professionals have to look at these. There are various organizations where in the past there has been discrimination based on the gender, discrimination based on the occupational hazards, discrimination based on the technical competencies. Nowadays, there are certain amendments which have come into picture which look at the emancipation or the, you can say, equality for such for such you can say factors which create a differentiation. Another factor is the employment rate. One of the important factors here that influence the availability of applicants is the growth of the economy. In times of prosperity, as we know, the economy has cycles. There are cycles wherein there is prosperity, there are cycles where there is a depression, there is a recovery, there are in certain times a recession. So there are these various cycles that happen in the economy. In times of a good economy or prosperity, or in times of recovery, when the economy is said to be booming, when the world is said to have a prosperity, those times there is a surplus of demand which needs to be met by the surplus of supply. But in recessionary times, when there is less work being generated, there is less of new work or new processes coming into the company, those times there is a lesser demand but there is more supply. So this again becomes an an important factor. Competitors, the recruitment policies of the competitors also affect the recruitment function of the organizations. Nowadays, as you will notice as we move ahead in our discussions of this particular topic or subject of recruitment. There are many competitors who've adopted novel practices. These novel practices are practices like recruiting from social media, online sites such as Facebook, MySpace, Twitter, YouTube. They both use the pull as well as the push effect. They post ads as well as they try to, put blogs where people can check those, or they directly apply, for those particular. They directly approach people on social networking sites. They also are, using certain technology to enhance the speed and enhance the quality of the recruitment functions through the use of cloud computing, through the use of various mobile applications, through the use of Android functions. Hence, it is important to understand what are the new techniques, what are the new pieces of technology that the competitors are employing. Now that we have covered in detail the important external factors, let us now move to a discussion on the internal factors affecting the recruiting process. The factors which can be controlled by the organization, or to simplify this, the factors which are well within the control of an organization are, simple to say, the internal forces. One of the important internal forces is the recruitment policy followed by any organization. Now, what this policy does is it specifies the objectives of recruitment and provides a framework for implementation of this particular program. So, the vision of the organization, the mission of the organization, and various objectives, long and short-term goals, are considered to frame a particular recruitment policy. Example, there are certain companies which would only recruit people who've got a first class and who have a graduation. Whereas there are certain companies who also cater to clients from abroad who can also take people who are a 12th pass with a normal, that is a second class or a pass class. So there are recruitment policies which are involved in the qualification. Similarly with experience, similarly with the ratio of inducting people from outside to the ratio of internal recruitments through promotions or transfers, all of these come under the umbrella or the purview of the recruitment policy. Now, what are the factors that affect the recruitment policy? We have discussed some of them. Let us look at some more. The organizational objectives, which we've already discussed. Another important one being the government policies on reservations. As you know, in India, there is a reservation policy. Some of the special, there is a reservation for some of the castes and creeds in India. Some tribes in India get reservation for education. Similarly, in some government, more specifically towards the government organizations which have a reservation, they have a certain quota for certain reserve castes, creeds, tribes in order to improve their lifestyles, in order to encourage them to join the government organizations or certain private organizations. And of course, the needs of the organization. So, if the organization requires people from a different nationality who can work, so they can also flex their policy to encompass people from different nationalities, like people who are native to the United States, people who are native to UK, people who are Australian natives. So, if the process demands, they can work in companies, specific companies being like IT companies, the manufacturing companies, the BPOs, the KPOs. One specific example comes to my mind is a company which is a joint venture of Mitsubishi. Mitsubishi is a Japanese company. In a recent training for such employees, I met with Japanese people of the Japanese origin working there as a part of their on-job training. So all this comes under the purview of the recruitment policy. Well, another important factor internally is the human resource planning. How the planning needs to take place, what are the measures to make it effective, and how effective human resource planning helps in determining the gaps present in the existing manpower of the organization. So, what are the kind of calculations that go in? What are the measures of forecasting? What are the exact parameters that are looked upon by the human resource planning? All these factors need to be a part of the human resource planning when it comes to deciding about recruitment. Let's move on now. Another important factor is the size of the firm. We have discussed this in a brief manner. Let us look at this important factor. Yes, it is extremely important as stated here, and it's a crux of the recruitment process. Based on this particular factor, we need to create the recruitment process. If the organization is planning to increase its operations and expand its business, it will think of hiring more personnel which will handle its operations. So, if it's a ramp up as in the earlier years of Microsoft, in the earlier years of Oracle, in the early years of IBM, in the early years of our own giants Infosys, Wipro, HCL, we've seen how the ramp ups used to happen and how numbers, that is, thousands of employees joined in a month. If it's a small size firm with less market recognition, with a smaller brand image, then the recruitment would be of a different nature. Well, the next internal factor that is under discussion is the cost. Recruitment activities, as we know, incur costs to the employers. So, therefore, it is a factor which can be controlled internally. If the organization is not ready to spend too much, probably they could look at recruiting internally through the basis of posting an IJP or a promotion or transfer or bringing people back from a retirement. Growth and expansion, organization will employ or think of employing more people if it is expanding its operations. So, if there is more work which has come from the various clients of the organization, then definitely they will think of ramping up or growing the organization by recruiting more people. Companies can adopt different methods of recruitment for selecting people in the company that we have seen. These methods are internal and external sources. So, in this and the next few slides, we are going to take an overview just to reinforce the concepts before we move ahead from this particular introductory chapter. Well, as a part of the overview, we've already seen things like what are the internal sources and what are the external ones. A quick reiteration through this enlisting here, promotion being one, departmental examination or departmental recruitment being the other, transfers, internal advertisements, and employee recommendations. So, few of these would be discussed in the next few slides to develop a better understanding. External sources, the prime ones being consulting managements or experts in recruitment, employment agencies, newspaper advertisements, internet advertisements or online advertisements, and walk-in interviews. So, these are a few of the things that we are going to discuss which form critical or crucial sources of internal as well as external sources of recruitment. The first being that of promotion. Well, companies can give promotion to existing employees. Now, here what happens is a person who is promoted, firstly, company can save a lot of time of recruitment as well as a lot of efforts and money is saved because a person who knows the systems well, who's worked with the systems, who's worked with the organization well, who knows the people is being promoted. So, there is no need to pay extra money to another external entity. It is a method of encouraging efficient workers. So, people who are efficient with their work, who have served the company for a long time, it is a good way of paying back these people for their loyalty. Certain people who've joined in relatively new, but who are excellent people, who are talented workers, talented personnel, can also be rewarded in this manner in order to retain these people. So, this is an efficient and effective way of internally looking at people and an internal source, that is promotion. Let's move on to the next source. We have the departmental examination, which is the next source. This method is used by government departmentals to select employees for higher level posts. So, if you've noticed, there are certain tests. A recent example is one of my friend who is in a government department, and he is based in the transport department. So, in order for him to get promoted to the next level, there was a departmental exam, which he, of course, passed with flying colors, and he has now been promoted to a regional head of a particular state transport depot. The method ensures proper selection and impartiality. Extremely important here that it should be impartial in nature, it should be transparent in nature, it should be primarily based on the kind of skills displayed during that particular exam. This particular source of recruitment, the recruiters generally put out advertisements on the departmental boards for these exams, and people apply for them. Let's move on. Transfers are another effective way of recruiting internally. Many companies hence adopt them as a method of recruitment. Now, in a transfer, ideally, if a person is working in a place which is not suitable, or the person wants to move to a better location, or a person wants to move to their home base, transfers are the most ideal way of recruiting. Transfers are ideal for those companies where there are multiple branches and is spread across in a geographically diverse manner. So, as I gave the example of Mr. A, let us say another person, let us say, is based in New Delhi and is a person who is native to Pune, and he's working in the Infosys branch of New Delhi, but wants to transfer to Pune primarily because Delhi is a larger city. The climate of Delhi is different from what it there is in Pune, and probably the food habits of the Maharashtrian person who's been transferred to Delhi do not suit him. So he is on the lookout of change, probably change as in not to shift from the company but to come back to Pune. Immediately when he sees a transfer for the same position enlisted probably on the internet or on the company website, he would immediately apply for this particular transfer. Although it might not involve any change in position, it might not involve any pay hike, but still it would save him a lot of money because probably he might have an ancestral home in Pune. The weather conditions suit him. He has his family in Pune, and this itself is a motivating factor which saves the company a lot of time, a lot of money. At no extra cost, this transfer happens. The idea is to select the talented personnel from other branches of the company and transfer them to branches where there is a shortage of people. Thus, the company in turn does a balancing act here by transferring less, by transferring more talented people to places where there's a shortage of talent. Let's move on. The next one is a retirement. Certain companies or most of the companies call back personnel who have already retired from the organizations. At times when there is a short supply of talent, or at times when there is a budget concern, these kind of measures are used. As we know, friends, people who have retired from organizations are highly experienced, and thus in turn there is a motivation factor for them. There's a sense of pride that their company calls them back. So such a temporary measure actually invigorates those individuals. There's a great sense of motivation and encouragement for them to join back into their previous companies. Well, now internal advertisement is the next internal source of recruitment, and we have seen this previously. Let us just quickly discuss it. In this method, vacancies in a particular branch are advertised on the notice board. It's quite similar to what we have seen about the government example, which I had provided to you. People who are interested are asked to apply for the job. So it's quite a logical process. It's a cost-saving process. You just need to put up an ad on the company's advertisement board, and people who are interested will definitely apply for it. If they receive, if they get the position, they will feel motivated about it. So it works well in this particular context. The next part is that of the employee recommendation. In this method, employees are asked to recommend people for jobs. This is also known as the referral kind of a method, wherein a lot of organizations pay for referrals, provided the referrals stick for a certain period of time and have the requisite amount of talent and skill. Since employees are aware of the working conditions inside the company, they will suggest people who can adjust to the situation. So, having worked in the organization for many months, many years or decades, employees are well aware of what happens in their own organizations. Can any of their friends or known people cope with the kind of stress, the environment? Can they be a good fit for the culture? So, people are well aware of these kind of things, and thus, based on their suggestions, the company can recruit people who are considered as recommendations or referrals. The company is benefited because it will obtain good people, people of the similar caliber or similar quality of the current employees, and because these employees are recommended by their own employees. Let's move on. Management consultant is another source of recruitment. Now this is, we are starting with the external sources. Let us move to the previous slide again. We had discussed till this particular slide the internal sources, if you see, of recruitment. But from this slide we are working on external sources. The first is that of the management consultant. Now these people, they are experts in their domain. They have an expert understanding of what the requirement is. So what they do is they help the company by providing them with managerial personnel when the company is on lookout for entry level management trainees and middle level managers. So as the name goes, they are management consultants. So they provide entry level or mid level managers. So the company can go to a reputed management consultant and get the services of these types of managers. Another important one is the employment agencies, which we all know. Companies may give a contract to employment agencies that search, interview and obtain the required number of people. In the Indian context, recruitment agencies are quite famous. They are quite successful. In fact, a chunk of the business generated through external sources comes from these recruitment agencies. There are many agencies functioning in the big cities, that is Mumbai, Delhi, Pune, Chandigarh, Bangalore, Hyderabad, Chennai, and these people, they operate by placing ads either in the newspaper or on radio. They have their own referral kind of a system. Here, friends, what happens is ramp ups are created at the recruitment agency's place, or they send a specific set of people to the company to get recruited. Post recruitment, the company pays them some kind of fixed remuneration as long as the recruited employees stay for a particular tenure. So this is about the employment agencies, also known as the recruitment agencies or the recruitment companies. Let's move on now. Another famous type of recruitment, especially for BPOs, for KPOs, for companies hiring, for IT companies which hire in large numbers, is the campus recruitment. Well, as the name goes, people are recruited from the college campuses, like the campuses of engineering colleges or management campuses. So people get recruited in this fashion, and this is especially for the fresh graduates or new talent. So if the company wants to infuse new talent, if they want to infuse fresh blood, they definitely can go for campus recruitments. Here it's a simple process. The interested candidates who are students of the last year, they have applied, okay, are made to go through a series of selection tests and interview before the final selection. So if it's primarily an engineering company or an IT company, they will have an aptitude test which involves knowledge of the subject, which involves logical selections, decision making, and of course certain tests. If they are BPOs or KPOs, they will also have communication related tests and checks in order that the person is good with the communications.